Let us begin this service by singing number 103. 103. Lord, in thee am I confiding. Thou wilt answer when I call. Lest my foes the goody riding triumph in thy servant's call. Number 103, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Numbers, the 21st chapter, the first part, Numbers 21. And when King Ered, the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south, heard tell that Israel came by the way of the spies, then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. And Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, if thou wilt indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy the cities. And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites. And they utterly destroyed them and their cities. And he called the name of the place Hormah. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water. And our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. And the children of Israel set forwards and pitched in hobbles. This far. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Grace, mercy, and peace be given, and richly multiplied unto you from God the Father, and Christ Jesus our Lord, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now ask the Lord for a blessing. Lord, it is in thy condescending mercy and in thy long suffering, in thy loving kindness, that we have still a place and a name at thy footstool. And in difference with so many other people who are taken away by the cold hand of death from day to day, we are still at the side of the grave and privileged in this evening to come in this house of worship to place ourselves under the eternal word and testimony. Lord, humble us under thy almighty hand. Bring us graciously where we never can bring ourselves, and that is as a sinner at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it may please thee to look upon us in this evening, and that we are privileged also to look upon thee, from whom is come all our help. That we are realizing together how dependent that we are on thee in everything, and also in speaking thy word, but also in listening to it. Make our hearts in this evening receptive for thy holy word, and that our gathering be in thy divine favor, that it was to the honor of thy precious name, that it was to the exaltation of Christ, but also to our soul's eternal welfare and salvation, that our only hope and expectation was of thee, with all thy servants and with all thy people over the length and over the breadth of the earth, where it is not in our hands to open the scriptures, and also it is not in our hands to apply it and to bring it in the heart of mankind. That is only by the Holy Spirit. Remember us to that purpose. After the multitude of thy blessings and of thy grace, In thy beloved Son Jesus Christ, in whom thou art well pleased, and that forever. Those that cannot gather with us, we commend them at thy throne. Especially the old people and the sick people. We commend them all at thy throne. One of our members, who is still in the land of living, but laying there waiting for the last moment that he shall be here in this world. Lord, remember him before that the end shall be there. Perform miracles and wonders where he is still in the day of grace. Another Father who is laying there in another place, and it seems that also his condition becomes less, more and more. We can all almost no more talk to him. But, Lord, thou knowest his circumstances, and thou knowest his needs and his wants. We commend him with his wife and children at the throne of grace. Also that old mother, remember her in all her weakness in the hospital. Strengthen and sustain, and speak to the soul comfortably, if it can please thee. A mother that go back to their husband and family, give her also a heart to acknowledge thee, that thy hand made everything well so far, and that all those trials and all those ways be sanctified to the soul, and that it was given to all of us, young and old, great and small, to number our days, that we apply our hearts unto wisdom. Pour out thy Spirit amongst us, that Christ be glorified in our hearts and in our midst, and that the wonders of that free and sovereign grace may be glorified in the heart of our children, our boys and our girls, but also of the older ones, and that thy people be established in their most holy faith, and that also thy word in this evening may find an entrance in our heart to the honor of thy name and to the gladness of our soul, that the devil be ashamed inside and outside, and that we experience thy presence in our gathering, with those orphans and with those, with the boys in the service and with all that in bereavement. We commend them at thy throne also one of our deacons in the bed of affliction, strengthen him in all his pain and circumstances. We cover and bless and hear us together with the pardoning of all our sins and transgressions for Christ's sake only. Amen. Number 290. And we commence with the sixth stanza. 290. In evil we have gone astray, and sinful is our race. Rebelliously our fathers walked, forgetful of thy grace. number 290 and start with the 6th stanza. Beloved congregation, in the first promise that we have in the Word of God, and what we find in Genesis 3 verse 15, there it speaks already about the two states of Christ, the state of his humiliation and his exaltation. And all the prophets of the Old Testament, they have spoken about the suffering of Christ and also of his glorification, especially the prophet Isaiah and also the prophet Zechariah. But you know, when Christ after his resurrection revealed himself to the two men of Emmaus, then finally he starts to instruct them. And it is really remarkable when Christ start to instruct and to teach that two men, that you read in Luke 24, beginning of Moses and of the prophets. This Christ himself, he start with Moses. And why? Moses was, of course, the representative of the Old Testament in regard to the law. He was the leader of Israel. But he was also a preacher of Christ. And what he had done sometime in his life, that was bringing the gospel to sinners, as it is the calling of every servant of God to preach the eternal word of God with all in all sincerity and referring to Christ as the promised Messiah. We find something of it also in our text this evening. In the Gospel of John, the 3rd chapter, verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Thus far. First of all, this evening, it is my intention to say something about the history of that brazen serpent. And under what circumstances that Moses had placed upon a pole that brazen serpent. It was after that Aaron died, and that the people of Israel was close to the promised land, Canaan. That happens, what we find in Numbers 21. You know, time and again, that people that had murmured against the Lord, that was not always agreeing with the Lord's ways. You know, it could be easy that Israel, in a year and a half, that they were out of Egypt in the promised land came. But it took 40 years. 40. And then when they came so close to that land, then Edom, that hindered that people to go through the country, and that was also keeping up them again, instead to travel through that country, then they have to go again to the wilderness. And that life in the wilderness, that was really a hard life. There were so many obstacles. There were so many trials that it really was not an easy journey. There was well bread, but there was no water. They have bread every morning, that man that came down from heaven, but let I say as it was there, they were tired of it. 3. And then they talk again about Egypt. And that was now so long ago that they came from there. And that the Lord had delivered them with an almighty hand out of that house of bondage. But now even so close to the land of Canaan, and then still talking about it. That sin of that people that was lonesome. It was an abomination in the sight of the Lord. You read not in Numbers 21 that Moses says something or that the Lord says something against him. But well that the Lord had punished them with a terrible punishment. There were in that wilderness serpents. And maybe you know that especially there in that part of the country, they were, as they call that, flying serpents, burning serpents. When they were biting men, most of the time they were dead. The people were dead. They have so much poison in them. That was awful. And it happens there also in the wilderness that so many people died on account where they were bitten by the serpents. But still, under all the circumstances and under all the murmurings and under all that the enmity that they have showed toward the Lord, then you read also in that part the penitence of the people. Of course, you know, congregation, we have nothing of ourselves. Nothing. A broken heart and a contrite spirit, as you read in Psalm 51, that is a present that the Lord gave to his dear children. If you have spiritual life, then there is always that desire inwardly in regard to that new life. That life that is born out of God, that is such a life that they want and desire to bow before the Lord all the time and with their whole heart. If that is not there, people, then we are unconverted and we are strangers of the true life of God. The child of God that desired to be humble before the Lord. But they have so many times that they have to confess that they cannot come where they desire to come. And they have to realize, people, that it is all a gift from the Lord. That we have nothing of ourselves, and of course, through penitence, that is in the life and in the heart of God's people, that is always a result of the mediatorial work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot believe in our own, through our own strength, when it is there, it is to Christ. When we hope, it is through Him. When we love, it come not of ourselves, but it is always coming from Him. And even when we now come, let I say it in a simple way, that everybody can understand it, if he now has come in the dust, and that there is nothing is left of us, and that he lay there as a worm before the Lord, confessing our guilt and our sin with our whole heart in truth and uprightness. It is a work of the Holy Spirit, not of us, but of that ever-blessed Spirit that works that true penitence in our heart. And what a blessing was now given to that murmuring people in the desert, in the wilderness, that they humbled themselves before the Lord. That is a proof, people, that the Lord thinks much about His people. Really? We would sometime in our life I'll give $100. $1,000, if we could just one moment lay there, in our totally nothingness before the Lord. Please. And when it takes place, then what takes place, then there are tears of joy in our eyes, that the Lord is so good to give that to us in our heart and in our soul. That people there in the desert, how many that died, we don't know, but many people died there. And there were so many that were sick, that have to die, and that came to the gates of death. But now they humbled themselves before the Lord. And then you find in that history in Numbers 21, the compliance of Moses in regard to the request of the people. Moses was willing, because the word compliance, that means inwilliging in the Holland language. And Moses, he was so glad when that people was humble. Oh yes, you can well realize what it is for a leader of the people, what it is for a minister, if he not see some broken hearts and contrite spirits, that give him easiness in his preaching to freely. When that people on the day of Pentecost was pricked in their hearts, what love was there by that Peter, to open for them the way of salvation. Humanly speaking, he could well preach the whole night, that Peter. And he had not to study for it. No. That came so easy out of his heart and out of his mouth. What a gladness was there to preach Christ Jesus to that people that was pricked in their heart. And there is something else, and that is the last thing what we see here in that history. First, the loathsome sin of the people. Then the terrible punishment of the sin of that people. Then the penitence of that people. Then the compliance of Moses in regard to the request of that people. And then finally, the commiseration of or the pity of God about and concerning that people in granting what they desire and in answering their prayer. Then the Lord, he gave Moses a command to make a brazen serpent. A brazen serpent. And to place that brazen serpent upon a pole. So high that far and wide the people could see it. And they have to look to that brazen serpent once. Even when their eyes were almost broken, even when they were at the gates of death, because you cannot realize a little, of course. In what an awful condition that people was there. The poison of those serpents was in their body. And that poison that burned the body, and of course another thing, there was no water there. Dus they were so thirsty and no relief. Dus there was nothing they have in sight than soon to die. But now that Moses he had to place that serpent upon that high pole. We and most of our commentators explain that brazen serpent upon that high pole, that refers to Christ. Calvin, he had other thoughts about it. He is not thinking about Christ. That means not Christ on the cross. Well, the preaching of the gospel through the whole world, but he could not see that serpent must be compared with Christ. And of course the text said, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. There is, of course, there is a reason that we can talk about the lifting up of Christ in different ways. And based on the eternal word of God. First of all, that it refers to the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then that it also refers to the lifting up of Him in heaven. As you read in Acts 1, verse 9, and in Acts 3, verse 21. And then the lifting up of that Christ in the preaching of the gospel over the whole world. And then finally, for us personally, the important thing, of course, the important thing, that Christ is lifted up in our heart. Lifted up in our heart. Because all what you read in the Bible, and what you hear in the preaching about Christ and His mediatorial work, that is wonderful. Really, that is wonderful. But still, it has to apply to our heart. And otherwise, it has no profit for our soul. Now, that serpent in the wilderness, that could not heal the people. It was a piece of copper. The child can well understand that. But still, congregation, they were something was in that really wonderful. In the first place, you see, in that emblem of that serpent, in the first place, the conquering over Satan. In the second place, the reconciliation of sin. And in the third place, the healing of the sick. We read in Genesis 3 already about the serpent. And then that text said in Genesis that now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field that the Lord God has made. In Revelation 12, there you read also about the serpent. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil. And in Revelation 20, verse 2, there you read again about that old serpent. This is the devil and Satan. And Christ himself, he said in Luke 10 verse 19 to his disciples, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. Now the characteristic of the devil, that serpent, that is to bring everyone under his jurisdiction and power. that is done already in paradise. The time and the moment that men bid farewell to the Lord, then we shake hands with the devil. And Paul, he wrote it to the Corinthians, to the Romans in his epistle, that we have sold ourselves unto sin. We are born as servants of the devil. We are living on in our life as slaves of the devil. And if the Lord come not in between, in regeneration and in conversion, then we are a victim of sin, and so we die. Now Christ had nothing of a servant. No. Nothing. And still, the text that said this evening, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so much. How is that now to explain that text this evening? The serpents in the wilderness were the cause in the hand of the Lord that thousand and thousand people died. And now Christ, he procured, he supplied, and he provided on account of his suffering and death eternal life for all his dear people. We are all on the list to die. All of us. And then the end of death, that is nothing else than eternal damnation in hell. That is the wages of sin. And now we can never deliver ourselves from the power of the devil. Our tears, our confessions can never bring us there. But you read in Psalm 89, people, and there you have the opening of the gospel. You have there that comfort for God's people that the Father declared that he had laid up hell by one who is mighty, by one who is almighty, by one who speaketh and it is, commandeth and it stands firm, by one that was sent in the world in the fullness of time to bruise the head of that sea and to take his subjects that the Father had given him in the council of peace, that he take him out of the power of the devil. And with that result, congregation, that they never come back under the dominion of the devil. Never. They can well be afraid many times. They can come in such darkness that before that they die sometimes, that they have even so much strife that they say, I don't know what my end shall be. David, The man after God's own heart. A picture of all God's children. Thousand cares, thousand trials. Were his foot. But now Christ, he was lifted up. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That was the necessity that had to place. And why was that necessity there, people? In the first place, that lay from all eternity in the heart of the Father. There you have the foundation, people. There. Not a man, no. We find it well out in our life, people. If it have to come from us, then it shall never take place. Read Psalm 40 and read Psalm 53. That the Lord had found none that was seeking him and that was looking after him, not one. But it is a one-sided work of the Lord. Thus, when you read here, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so much the Son of Man be lifted up. First of all, by virtue of God's counsel. Second, by virtue of all the promises that the Lord had given through the prophets in regard to the coming of Christ. The examples that the Lord had given. Isaac was offered up upon the Mount Moriah. But at the last moment, then the Lord, he said, it is enough. No. And then instead of that Isaac, they offered the goat and lay him upon the altar there. And Jonah, 3 days and 3 nights in that whale. And so must the Son of Man, 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And then there was another reason why that it must. There was a reason in the Father, but there was also a reason in the Son himself. What a blessing. Oh, what a blessing. That in the Council of Peace, that the Son had given himself voluntarily surrendered himself in the hand of his Father. As you read in Psalm 40, lo, in the palm of the books it is written, and I have desire to do thy will. The will of the Father was the will of the Son. And the will of the Son, the will of the Father. But that Christ must lift it up, that had another reason too. There was another reason for that. And that was the demand of the Holy Law. You know, congregation, a gospel without law that have no sense. take that your whole life by with you. And if you listen to sermons, and if there's nothing else than gospel, and not one word of the law, then it is entirely wrong. Entirely. The law is given by Moses, and the gospel by Jesus Christ. Oh, people, we must be wounded by the law against all the commandments of God. We have sinned. All the commandments of the law. Not one, no. And we were singing by the beginning this evening, Psalter 103, that is Psalm 38. And there you have a wounded soul about over his sin. And in our Belgian confession, and we are glad with it, oh yes, we are appreciate that the Lord had given us that confession. In that confession that our fathers told us, that in the wounds of the Lord Jesus Christ are all kind of comfort for wounded souls. O congregation, we have in our city many doctors, many drugstores. You can find them everywhere. But one of our deceased ministers, he said once in a sermon, he said, people, even that now all the stores were filled with salt, with ointment, but you have no wounds that have no value. And so it is, those that are well do not need a physician, but those that are sick, those that are wounded. And we have heard now this evening reading by the table, that by the law is the knowledge of sin. Romans 3. By the law. And if we not become cut off by the law and by the justice and righteousness of God, the gospel has no value for our souls. It is a glad tiding, for wounded souls. For souls that are stuck everywhere. For souls that are asked whether that there is balm in Gilead and that there is a physician for them. Because if the Lord comfort you people, then we try everything to help ourselves. And to climb up with ourselves. We do everything. That is all, that is the work of the Lord. But now Paul, he said, not those that work, but those that believe. That the Lord justified by grace, only by grace, not by the works of the law, they shall be saved. And now, the law condemned us, the law cursed us. And if now the Lord comfort you people, if the Lord comfort you, if he does it, if he does it, and that's the main thing, oh, if the Lord comfort us, then the only remedy for our soul that is Christ. If the Lord comforts you. And then we are looking to Him. And then we lay at His feet. By day and by night, time and again. And then it is our prayer, is there a remedy to escape the wrath of God and to be restored into communion with God? And there you come to the same place as we start this evening. Oh, the penitence of that people. The Lord brings that people in the dust before Him, acknowledging His righteousness and His justice, and that it is right even that He will send me to hell. It isn't taught, people. Oh, it isn't taught. We can ever think through it, what that means. No. But there comes moments in the life of that people that they expect it, and that they agree with it, and that they say, Lord, you can do nothing else with me than to exclude me, than to place me outside, and to pass me by. But oh, if it come to that place, that is so a sweet place, people, that is such a sweet place. There was never so much love in that heart for doubt of that people, and never more comfort in the soul than when they lay unto that tender place where we sing of, out of number 140. I am evil, born in sin. Thou desires truth within. Thou alone, my Savior, be. Teach thy wisdom to my heart. Make me pure, thy grace bestow. Wash me whiter than snow. 143:3-4. My dear people, Christ has nothing of a servant, well of a dog. All the virtues that you find by a dog, you find it by Christ. But he must become sin, and he must become a curse instead of his people. The Father laid all the sins and all the iniquities upon him. He was wounded for our transgressions. That was it. He had never done any sin, original sin or actual sin. He had nothing of it. That angel that said once, that holy one that shall born out of you, that shall be the Son of God. He was so far from sin, people. Farther than heaven from earth. There was never any guile in his mouth. And we have nothing as sin. We have nothing as sin. If the Lord open our eyes, people, oh, then we have to say lust, 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 lust. With words, with thoughts, and with deeds. Our whole life that testified against us. Even congregation, that we have no more sins as the sins of thoughtless. The sin of no desire. Listless. Listless. There are so many times, people, that there is in our heart of mind nothing of the Lord. No. Nothing. Where is the acknowledging of Him? We have always to be ashamed of ourselves. We can never boast upon ourselves, never. But now Christ, He was willing to bear and to bore all the iniquities of His people. And therefore the text said, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. The Son of Man. Christ was the eternal Son of God. From eternity to all eternity He is God. Co-equal with Father and Holy Spirit. But He assumed our human nature out of the Virgin Mary. He assumed. And why? Because in His divine nature as God, He was not receptive to suffer or to die. No. Hellenbroek, you know the whole Hellenbroek, of course. That great light in the church from whom we have the question book. And we have no, never could find them better in the world. No. All the sinners did agree with it. But He said, to die for God, that must an impossibility. That is an impossibility. And now Christ must have our human nature to suffer in that human nature. To bear the wrath of God. All the sins of His people. And you read in Psalm 42 that all His billows and waves that goes over Him. And He was sinking in that pit, in that miry pit, and in that water of God's wrath and of God's justice. and that all freely. But his suffering and his death, Paul, he said in Colossians 2, that Christ on the cross had triumphant over all the principalities and over all the powers of hell. And now the conquering Christ, the conquering Christ, the reconciliating Christ. He reconciled God with the sinner, and he reconciled the sinner with God. And finally, congregation, you read in Malachi 4 about the Son of Righteousness, that is Christ, and there is healing under his wings. Healing under his wings. And if that ever takes place in our life personally, then it is the language of our heart. But you find in Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives not some and not one, no, but who forgives all thine iniquities, who heals all thy diseases, and who redeems thy life from destruction, and who crownest thee with love and kindness and tender mercies. O people in my midst that is looking forward for it, for that day and for that hour, that you so be comforted in this evening with that Christ, and with his mediatorial work. Because on our side it is all done. And shall it ever be well with you and me for eternity, it hath all to come from above, from the Father of all light. And there is a fountain opened for the house of David and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem against sin and uncleanness. And take that now not wrong, people. Oh no, take it not wrong, please. But the more sins that we have, the more that that blood shall have power and preciousness of our heart. The trouble is that most of the time we have no sin. I hope you can follow it. But it is a strange language what he taught for many people. The wretched that we are here inside, the more precious that Christ shall be for our heart beating. Oh yes, he is a sheaf amongst 10,000. And he is altogether loving. For we, for whom? Answer the question. For whom? For that people that complain that their heart is full of enemies. For dead people, that Christ become precious for our soul. For the first time and by renewal, people. And that the word of God, we hope next time to talk about believing Christ. The time is now gone. But oh, that it may please the Lord to apply it to our hearts. The love of the Father, the love of the Son, the love of the Holy Ghost, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, in a place where was nothing else than death. But the serpent was lifted up, that far and wide that they could see. And now the healing and restoration by that Christ. There is nothing too wonderful for him, boys and girls, children, that in the days of our youth, that you seek the Lord. Ask with your mind. Ask with your mind that the Lord will make it real in your heart. Ask now. You can never ask him too much. No. And the Lord is willing to answer. Call upon me, and I shall answer thee. That is the gospel that we preach to you. And that in that only way that is opened, in Christ Jesus, to the glory of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, but also to the salvation, and to the comfort of all God-seeking people. Amen. Lord, that a few words in this evening be sanctified and applied to our hearts, and that it may please thee that Christ become necessary and precious and excellent for our heart and for our soul. Be with all of us, one as well as the other. Thou knowest all the needs and the wants in the congregation and in the families, all the troubles and afflictions. Remember us together. Prepare us for the next Sabbath day. But above all, prepare us for the great and ever-ending eternity, and look upon each and every one, also that mother after the accident. These words as that we have taught, but so far the hand has spared her. Oh, remember her further, and strengthen her by the hand, and prepare us together to meet thee in righteousness and peace, for Christ's sake only. Amen. Number 234. 234. In mercy turn and look on me, thy servant true, thy chosen one. Let me thy great salvation see, and strengthen me my course to run. Number 234, the fourth stanza. the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.